We're On the Record. I'm Senior Supervising Producer Maureen Harvey, in for Sheila Cast. Good morning. 12 mattresses are arranged in a circle. Drawn on the bed's white fabric are the outlines of sleeping children. Boys, girls, toddlers, teens, their hands curled up by their peaceful faces. That tranquility is betrayed by the title of the exhibit, Dream Refuge for Children Imprisoned. It's on display through May 18th at the Asian Arts and Culture Center at Towson University. Creator Naomi Shintani founded the Kitsune Community Art Studio in Half Moon Bay and is a teaching artist at Creativity Explored for Disabled Adults and Foothill College. She is a member of the Asian American Women's Artists Association and joins us from California. Welcome to the show, Naomi.
Thank you for having me.
You explore three specific groups of children who have experienced imprisonment in the United States. Who are they?
I work with three groups of children in my exhibition. One is the Japanese American children who were incarcerated during World War II. Second are the Indigenous children who were in boarding schools. And lastly, and most recently, the Central American refugee children at our borders.
I described the beds that are in this exhibit, but tell us more about what it looks like and what it sounds like when people visit this installation.
When you enter the gallery, you will encounter a circle of beds. They're all facing inward, so there's 12 beds. And in the center of the circle, there are children that are on the floor. And those are the Central American children because they did not have beds during their detention. You will hear as you walk around the exhibition and through the exhibition, the voices of those that were incarcerated. And some of them are in their 80s because they were incarcerated during World War II. And some are more recent within the last few years.
And the children on the drawings of their bodies, there are these symbols of protection. What are these symbols?
Well, I wanted to add something to the drawings that did give them some kind of protection. So I researched and came up with little talismans that I sewed with red thread. And so for each group, there's a different symbol. And for the Japanese American children, I sewed a symbol that in Japan they would often sew on the back of children's kimonos. So they're all different things. It could be butterflies, turtles, different kinds of symbols. And then for the Native American children, I sewed little patches of different healing herbs that I received from an indigenous elder. So there's sage and different kinds of sacred plant matter. And then on the red felt patch, I also sewed the four directions. And then for the refugee children, I sewed crosses because they came across the border holding crosses and rosaries for protection. So I just wanted to add something that was culturally significant to each group and also another way for people to identify who these children are.
How did this idea come to you?
Well, I originally made one cot and the child on it was actually my niece who modeled for it, and I drew her sleeping body. She posed for me. And I was telling the story of one particular girl that was incarcerated at a detention center in California. And I got a lot of response to it because I think people forgot or didn't know that children were also imprisoned during this time. And so I thought, gosh, I think I should make this a larger installation. And so while I was working and planning that, I started hearing more about the Central American refugee children that were being held in detention. And I thought, gosh, you know, their stories are somewhat similar. And it was like another example of unjust imprisonment. And so I wanted to include them and talk about the history and the connections between these different children. And then I also met some Native American women that were in boarding schools and also had a similar situation where their heritage was separating, was a separating factor, and the loss of their culture and heritage. So that was sort of the idea of bringing these different cultures and stories together.
Among the oral and written accounts that you collected, there's one that stood out to me from a 10-year-old girl from Guatemala.
I was separated from my mom. I couldn't talk to her for days. I tried to catch a glimpse of her between the cages. She was in one of the cages and I was in another. The only way I could try to see her was through the cage. I cried at night all alone, cold and by myself.
Tell us how you went about collecting these stories from the border.
I contacted a woman, Belinda Arriaga, who also is in Half Moon Bay. And I knew she was going down to the border as a therapist and wanting to help out with that situation. And so she was able to gather some stories with some of the kids that she was working with and gave them to me to use in the installation. And then she gathered some kids in Half Moon Bay to read the stories so that we could have the voices of children speaking in Spanish and in English for the exhibition.
And you actually went down to the border, right?
I did. I was invited to go to a Japanese American pilgrimage that was at Crystal City, and that was a camp that was in San Antonio. And one of the things that we also explored was a detention center that was only like a mile or two away from where the Japanese were incarcerated in the 40s. And so that was just ironic to us that here were people in this day and age that were also being incarcerated. So we did a protest there. We wanted the kids to know and the mothers to know that we were there supporting them. And we had quite a large crowd that came out in support of our protest and a connection to our past as far as Japanese Americans incarcerated. I also went to the bus station where some of the families that had been released were boarding buses to go to different communities that were helping to support them. And so we gave out food and coloring books and storybooks and different things that they could take along with them on their journey. So we did get to meet some of the children and parents. And it was very heart-wrenching and eye-opening for me. And so those two experiences of going to the pilgrimage and the detention center were another impetus for the exhibition.
We need to take a short break in our conversation with Naomi Shintani, the artist behind the installation Dream Refuge for Children Imprisoned, currently on display at the Asian Arts and Culture Center at Towson University. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Senior Supervising Producer Maureen Harvey in for Sheila Cast. Drawings of sleeping children evoke feelings of protectiveness and vulnerability. But in the installation Dream Refuge for Children Imprisoned, visitors confront the contrast between vulnerable and defenseless children and the reality of the United States' role in breaking that innocence. This work focuses on Native American children kidnapped and placed in boarding schools, Central American children separated from their families at the border and imprisoned, and on Japanese American children imprisoned during World War II. Dream Refuge for Children Imprisoned is on display at the Asian Arts and Culture Center at Towson University. I'm joined by the work's creator, artist Naomi Shintani. More than 125,000 people of Japanese descent were forcibly incarcerated by the U.S. government during World War II, and two-thirds of these individuals were U.S. citizens. What was your family's experience during this time?
My father's family were in Washington State, and they were oyster farmers in the Puget Sound area. And so after Pearl Harbor, my grandfather got taken away like the next day. And then the rest of the family, my grandmother and my father and his siblings, were removed from their home a bit later and were moved to Tule Lake concentration camp that is at the border of Oregon and California. And you can imagine how difficult this must have been for my grandmother, who didn't speak English, and trying to deal with selling their items, their houseboat, trying to pack things. They could only bring what they could carry, and having three children to organize all this and to be taken to a place that they didn't know. They actually didn't know where they were going or how long they would be gone. So it was quite a upheaval and disturbing situation. And my family's just one example of that happening to them.
How did your understanding of what this meant for your family, for your father, how did that change over time as you grew up?
It wasn't really a conversation that we had with my father. We started learning more pieces of it when some of the teachers at our schools asked us to write something about our parents, or our possibly, I think one of my brothers did write something for a history class. And so then we interviewed my dad, and then we learned more about what happened to him and his family. But also, he didn't talk a whole lot about it. He spent his teenage years there. So he pretty much spent his high school years, 4 years behind bars. Mm. And so I think as we became more knowledgeable through our own research and talking with other people, we were able to ask more questions. And I did go on a pilgrimage with my father to where he was incarcerated. And at that point, I was able to learn more things as he spoke about it while we were there.
At the installation Dream Refuge for Children Imprisoned, there are ways that you've designed for people to interact with the work. How can they do that?
Well, I thought that people may have feelings and thoughts after they experience the exhibition. So there's a community table that we put together where there's tree branches where people could add their thoughts, write them down, and tie them onto the tree. Or there's origami paper so that they could fold different things. I've had people leave little toys and things under the altar, under the tree branches. And so all of it's sort of a way to express feelings or thoughts for the children. I think it gives people a way to understand themselves better, how they're feeling about the exhibition, and to express it in a way that could be shared with other viewers, and also with myself, who I may use some of these things possibly to express in another art piece.
What do you hope that people take away from this art?
One of the things I really wanted to do was create a way where people could come into the exhibition and be open and explore and ponder, and also possibly put themselves in the situation. What would it be like if I was a child that was experiencing this? What would it be if my own child was experiencing being imprisoned? And that's why I made the children sleeping, because I think all children should feel safe and be able to sleep and dream. And that was the idea of the refuge for these kids that were going through so much trauma. I wanted it to be not a confrontational sort of experience. I wanted it to be a healing experience for people to enter into the dream refuge space.
Naomi, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you. And I also really want to thank Towson University and the curators and the director of the program for inviting me, because this is such a special place to show this exhibition, to expose and introduce possibly history that may be new to some people.
Naomi Shintani is the artist behind Dream Refuge for Children Imprisoned, an installation on display through May 18th at the Asian Arts and Culture Center at Towson University. I'm Maureen Harvey, in for Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us on the record.